Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I'm so thankful for our partnership with the Spot Athletics in Columbus, Ohio. Our offices and our studios are here, and because of our partnership, I get to offer you 10% off of any of their sport and life programs. That goes for athletes, that goes for adults, 10%. All you have to do is go to thespotathletics.com/get-started and enter code UNSCRIPTED10 in the comments. That's all you got to do. thespotathletics.com/get-started, enter UNSCRIPTED10 in the comments. And they'll get you started today. Now, here's JL with a little bit of his story.
I wasn't a great athlete growing up. There was a lot of kids with more natural talent than I had. After my freshman year of football, when I wasn't quite the star I always wanted to be, that's when I decided to start lifting weights. Joined the local gym, and I honestly had no clue what I was doing. Just kind of did what I saw in the magazines. You know, I worked real hard, but after a few months of really not getting any stronger, I was really lucky because the gym manager, he took me under his wing and he showed me how to really train. After a few weeks, I kind of noticed I started getting a lot stronger. After a few years, I was playing college football, and now many years later, I'm a world champion in powerlifting. Honestly, I owe everything I've done athletically to that gym manager. And I started the Spot Athletics because I wanted to make that kind of impact on people's lives. Hi, I'm JL Holdsworth, founder and head strength coach at the Spot Athletics.
When I think about you,
to the Unscripted Podcast.
We're Tori and Shauna, and you're listening to our song called When I Think About You.
Available on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you enjoy your favorite songs.
But for now, let's listen in to your host
and our friend,
Aaron Conrad.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my studios at the Spot Athletics in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm really excited about today. This is going to be very, very interesting. Cindy, do you mind introducing yourself? And we will go from there.
Hi, everybody. My name is Cindy Bunch. I'm from Keller, Texas. I run a nonprofit called Phillips Wish. And we basically take care of people in Dallas and Fort Worth and surrounding cities in our metroplex.
So I have to tell you a quick story. I went to see The Chosen just a few weeks ago, and we saw a trailer for a film called 5,000 Blankets. Yes. And right away, my wife just got back. I think it was September. She went to the LA Dream Center.
Oh, beautiful place.
Beautiful place. Spent a week and she's forever changed. We do have a few Dream Centers here in Columbus, Ohio as well. And just last night, she was downtown with the group from the Dream Center, giving out food, interacting with people. So this is very near and dear to our heart. And so I'm very excited to talk to you today about 5,000 Blankets and just your story. So because we're unscripted, do you mind just walking us through the story and how all this happened?
Well, it started in 2004. My husband was, he was paranoid schizophrenic. And, you know, you have to take medications for that daily.
Sure.
He stopped taking his medications and things got really, really bad. And he was actually, he had a job. He was a construction engineer in Fort Worth, downtown Fort Worth. I mean, two blocks away from the homeless district. And he started disappearing for like days.
Wow.
And Philip and I, he got off his medications and Philip and I would go looking for him. And Philip was a 5 and a half at the time. Just young little boy. Mm-hmm. And he had never seen the homeless district, nor had I. I never took time to actually go down there and do anything. And he was introduced to a world that most children don't see.
Right.
And his heart, just one night after we'd been searching, it was December, or I can remember it was December, and I was tucking him into bed, and he looked at me and he said, "Mommy, are you warm?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah, baby, I'm warm." He says, "You think Daddy's warm?" Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah.
And I just really didn't know how to answer that. And I just said, "Well, I hope so." And he goes, "Well, Mommy, what about all those other people that are out there? All those other people that are on the street that are in the tents and just laying there, Mommy, they're sick. We've got to do something to help them. So I want to collect blankets, lots and lots of blankets, so we can warm them all up." Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. And I just kind of, you know, put it on the back burner. Well, the next morning he got up and he brought me his piggy bank. And in his piggy bank, no kidding, there was $7.20. He says, "Mommy, we need to go buy 5,000 blankets."
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, $7.20. Okay.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, you know, okay, we'll do this. I'll go buy blankets. And I just kind of shrugged it off, but this kid didn't stop. "Mom, where are the blankets?" And it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to do something.
Yeah.
So I wrote, I typed up a letter telling our story, the whole story, the whole tragic everything. And I went down to downtown Fort Worth. It was in the evening. And I stood on the street and everybody that walked by, I'm talking everybody that walked by, I said, take this. I didn't even tell them what it was. I was very shy.
Yeah.
It was just like, take this. And it got in the hands of a reporter. And a reporter asked us to come and be on a segment in Fort Worth. I won't mention the station. But Philip and I went, and they interviewed Philip. And it just blew up from there.
Wow.
I mean, it just went crazy. We had sponsors, you know, jumping. Well, I was working two jobs at the time because we lost our house and we lost our car. We lost everything. Mm. We were living with my mom. We were living with my mother. And I was working two jobs and I was doing real estate online. And I thought, wow, I really don't want to do real estate. But if I can sell one house, just one house, that's enough money to get us back on our feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I met with a broker named Mike Bowman, Century 21 Mike Bowman Incorporated. He's out of a Grapevine. And they interview you. And he's like, he was interviewing me. And I said, you know, just out of the blue, I said, you know, Mike, I really don't want to be a realtor.
Mm.
I really, it's not in my heart. He says, what is it that you want to do? I said, I want to live my purpose. I want to fulfill Philip's dream.
Mm.
And now it's Philip's wish. And he's like, you know what? I want to help you.
Wow.
I want to help you with this. And so he started calling all these different mortgage companies, home builders, and it just went crazy. So we got our 5,000 blankets, by golly.
Wow.
Thank you, Mike Bowman.
Right.
And he's still on board to this day. He is our biggest sponsor. He's given me the opportunity to stay at home, work from home. We have a food pantry now in our garage. And the food pantry is basically just for the community, our community here. Because people right now, it's hard for them to pay their bills and get groceries. So are they going to pay their electric bill or get food? So we keep that food pantry full, and it takes a lot of begging because I don't have a lot of money. I'm a single person. Mm-hmm. And so I beg a lot online through the community, and they fill that food bank. So we got a food bank going. Then we do homeless outreach on every weekend and during the week as well. It's constant and it never stops. My hands are here and there and everywhere. And, you know, and Philip's a huge part of it as well. You know, he helps and you know, he's more of the media person. He's better at it than I am.
How long has it been from the beginning of the story you just told, from the beginning of the story till where we are today? How long has that window been?
20
that
years.
This has all taken 20 years. This is so. How old is Philip?
20 years. Philip will be 26 on Christmas Eve.
26. Okay, because the movie depicts him as a small child, and that was probably when this whole story started. When? How old was he when this started?
He was 5 and a half, fixing to go into first grade.
Okay.
And like I said, he was on that one segment, and a screenwriter saw that segment, and he called me, and I just kind of blew it off. You know, he's like, I want to write this story. And then he called me back and he says, I want to meet for coffee. And I'm like, okay. You know, I didn't really think much of it, to be honest with you. I really didn't. I met with him and he interviewed me for months. Months. I mean, every detail. And we became very, very, very good friends. Yeah. And he wrote the screenplay and sent it to Sony. And
here you are.
History.
That's right.
Here we are today.
So it took 20 years for this project, for the movie, the film project itself. Is that about right in terms of how long it took?
Oh, it took 12 years.
12
because
years.
When, okay. Yeah, 12 years. And then Doug Schaefer is the producer. Wonderful, wonderful man. Oh my gosh. He's stuck with this and plugged this. I'm telling you, this guy did not give up on this story.
Well,
he did not. And it finally got in the hands of Sony. And
here you are. I think what I find fascinating in the story you just told me is that you all were going through, it's not like you were in a position of wealth when this ministry happened. You know what I mean?
We were extremely poor. I was working at the grocery store. I'm not going to mention the name of the grocery store, but I was working there. I got a job there and I was working there. And then I was cleaning houses, literally cleaning bathtubs. I'm not kidding. Cleaning houses and doing real estate online and just trying to get us out of the hole that we were in. Eventually it took a while. We finally got we got a little trailer, Philip and I did. And we lived in the trailer and then, we lived in it. But to me, it was home. It didn't feel like, it was weird. It was kind of weird. It was like all those possessions that I had before, all the place didn't matter anymore. None of that mattered anymore. It was the simple things that started to matter. You know, does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. I have witnessed that in my wife going to LA and being with the Dream Center and visiting the homeless and going to Skid Row.
Yeah.
And, you know, when she came home, I sensed that in her as well. It's almost like we don't need anything anymore. You know, I'm just fascinated that throughout scripture, we saw that where those that had little gave much and those that had much gave so little.
Hey everyone, my name is Cammie Pranel and I'm the Executive Director for My Unscripted. We hope you are enjoying today's interview. My Unscripted is dedicated to helping others find their voice, passion, and follow their dreams. Our team can help create websites, apps, YouTube channels, podcasts, media, and social content. Whatever your passion and vision, we can help. Our good friend Manny Ahomi of Samaritan's Feet once said, "Make sure your dreams and goals are big enough to create room for others to join you." We've created room for you to join us too. Find out more at myunscripted.com. Now let's join Aaron for the second half of today's interview.
And I think Christ was really clear about that in throughout scripture.
Extremely
clear. And you're seeing the blessing, I almost want to say in air quotes, because we're being blessed, maybe not financially, but you're being blessed by someone like Century 21 to say, I can take care of you.
Yes. And it was a rough period because I came down with an illness. It was not good. I got cancer, thyroid cancer. So they removed my thyroid and I didn't have insurance at the time. And guess who stepped up again?
Wow.
Guess who stepped up again? Mike.
Same person.
Mike Bowman.
Wow.
Yep. And it's been a challenge because, you know, having this condition, but you know what? God keeps me going. It's crazy. It's like when I'm having a flare up or something, it's like, and I have to do an interview or I have to go out, or not have to, I want to. I feel the need to go out and, you know, be amongst my friends. I call them my friends because they're family to me. They're human, just like anybody else. And
right.
God gives me the energy and to do it. And it's just such a beautiful thing. When I come home, I'm just full of like, oh my gosh, I just want to bring these people home with me for real. I actually have a guy that landed on my doorstep 9 years ago, and he was deaf and his mother died from breast cancer. And she really didn't teach him much of anything. And it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do with this guy. He had no family. So I took him in, and he's lives in one of my rooms, my back rooms. I can bring him out here. He can say hi. I taught him how to sign, got him a job working overnight at the grocery store that I was working at. And he bought his first car. He paid it off last week, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. He's been here ever since. Yeah. So it's like, and that's not the first person I brought in and took care of. Or I'm not going to say I did it, because I definitely didn't do it. God did all of it. You know, God works through us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He works through us.
My wife works with the deaf culture. Small world. She works. So when she was in LA, one of the people that they came across in Skid Row during her time there was deaf, and she was able to communicate with them. No one else on the team would have been able to. So really cool story how that all happened. But how do you feel about the movie? How close is it in the depiction to your real life? Do you feel like they did a good job of telling your story?
They did a beautiful job. Awesome. This movie is beautiful. It is just, there's happy moments. There's some really, I mean, it's my life. It's my life story. And I'm looking at it. I remember the first time I watched it, I actually could not get through it. It brought back so many memories. And then it's like, you can do this. You can watch it. You can watch it. Even when I was on set, and Anna was doing, she was doing a scene, I had to walk away because it was so real.
So
it was
real.
Like, oh my God. Yes. It was so real. But my favorite scene, I have to say, in the movie is the scene where I meet Delia. Mm-hmm. That's Cindy Hogan plays Delia, and she plays my homeless friend, my homeless mentor, I call her. She basically, I had a mentor. His name was Charles Joyner, and he was homeless in Fort Worth, and he was legless. And he was the sweetest, most God-loving person. Oh, my. He taught me so much about homelessness, and we would sit for hours and just talk, the two of us. And so Julia's my Charlie. Charlie passed away in 2015. Yeah. Sweetest man. But everybody knew Charlie. Everybody loved Charlie. I mean, everybody. I'm talking everybody. There were so many people at his memorial. I think it was over 1,000 that showed up for his memorial service. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So my what I take away from this is that, you know, when I do these interviews, I have to spend time with God before I do them, because it's kind of like I want God to speak through me. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I fumble a lot. I'm not real confident about, you know, I don't like TV. I don't like being in the spotlight. I don't like any of that. I'd rather be behind the scenes. But I think God is trying to use me as a tool to help other people connect with other people. If that makes sense.
Makes total sense. Absolutely. And I'm the same way. I'm an introvert, extrovert. I don't like to be in the public eye at all. We had someone talk to us about making our podcast famous. And I said, I don't want to be famous. I started this platform to tell stories like yours, or actually just give people a platform to tell their story. It makes total sense what you're saying. It has to be so surreal to watch your life played out on film. I just can't imagine.
It still hasn't hit me. Yeah. To be honest with you, no, it still has not. It still seems so surreal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, I've got all these people calling me, all my friends from the past calling, and oh my gosh, Cindy, I can't believe this. You've worked so hard your whole life, and look at what's happened. And it's like, but I didn't do this. I keep telling them, it wasn't me that did this. Mm-hmm. It was my son's heart that worked through me. Jesus worked through me. None of this was me. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't. I love your humble spirit. I mean, I think scripture is very clear about being humble, especially in the midst of everything that you're going through right now. Those tough times is what has shaped you, but you have continued to stay who you are. And I think that's so rich beyond being rich. I think just being humble and being a wonderful person. You're an amazing person to speak to. I can tell you that. And I can't wait to see the movie.
I'm going
to
say that.
No, I mean it. I really do. It's, you know, to me, I'd rather talk to you about a story like this than talk to a Kardashian or somebody that has no concept of being, you know, humble and tough beginnings and all those kind of things in the story that you've told me. I really mean that. I genuinely would rather speak to people like yourself who really have a good grasp on what's important. It's incredible. It really is. I can't wait to see the film.
They couldn't have made a better film. It hits awesome. Everybody across the board. It's not just going to hit the faith community. It's going to hit everyone because people, families actually go through this all the time, but they just don't talk about it. It's stereotyped. Yeah.
We could talk for hours, I have a feeling, and I would actually love to have you meet my wife someday, and I just know God's going to make that happen. But in the meantime, all the details, because we got to wrap. You are on that run today of interviews, so we got to wrap. The details, yes. It's in theaters December 12th and 13th, is that correct?
Yes, you can go to fathomevents.com or fathom.com, and you can actually put in your zip code anywhere in the United States and find a theater close to you, or you can go to our website at phillipswish.com and it'll pull it up and you can actually watch the trailer, and you can buy tickets also through our website.
Buy
tickets. Yeah, my web designer built all that. I was like, she's amazing. I met her on the streets of Fort Worth. Honest to God, I gave her one of those letters and she told me, name is Jenny Mac. I call her my Jenny Mac. But yes, definitely. Everybody has got to see this movie. It's that beautiful. It's that beautiful. And it's so real. There's no fluff. It just tells the story. And it's a beautiful story. And people need to make sure they bring their tissues.
I bet. Well, you are a beautiful soul. I can't wait to see the movie. Thank you so much for your time today. And best of luck on the rest of the interviews that you're going to do today. Thanks so much for being on Unscripted.
Bless you. And you tell your sweet wife I said hello.
I will. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Unscripted Podcast with your host, Aaron Conrad. Be sure to like, share, and follow on all your favorite podcast platforms.
Also, make sure to check out our song, When I Think About You, on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you enjoy your favorite songs.
We'll see you next time on Unscripted
with Aaron Conrad.